This is Tim the Perfect Storm, former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, and you're listening to the Ringside Rant with RJ.
Shatota, the Russian Liver, Nikita Koloff, and you are listening to Ringside Rant.
Welcome back to the Ringside Rant, and welcome to Ranters Nation. I have the honor of sitting down with a tag team that, quite frankly, needs no introduction. They are the best kept secret, Tyson Dean, Jeff Lewis Neal. Gentlemen, how are things? You know, we chatted a little bit. Everybody is not yet quarantined yet, so I guess it's a good thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very good thing. I know I'm not, and so it's it's a good thing though. I mean, life still moves on, and so it's a good thing. And thanks for having us on.
Yeah, definitely. I popped big time when you guys walked out with Mr. Koloff because I had him on a few months back on this show, and it was just one of those things where I look on Twitter and I see, well, Nikita Koloff, DM me, what the hell? You know, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I got to answer him now. I can't let that lie. You know, it was great. I told him with the match that he and the Russians had with the Midnight Express or the Rock and Roll Express. Excuse me.
Right.
My grandfather used to actually, he's the one that got me into wrestling because he used to go to wrestling matches at in New York City, and he would tape VHS tapes and give them to me. Hey, you got to watch this. So I saw Hogan before he was red and yellow when he was wrestling, you know, before I was born, and then obviously watching it after. And the Russians and hit the tag team match. I told him that is absolutely phenomenal. That's been one of my favorite tag team matches that I've seen. Mm-hmm. What kind of, you know, you debuted at the Circle Squared against Hawks Airy. You had the backing with Mr. Koloff. How did you guys, first of all, get involved with the Circle Squared, with the NWA? And then the same thing with, you know, how, you know, getting involved with Mr. Koloff and the impact he's had on you guys.
Mm-hmm. You want to take that one, Jeff?
So basically I've been friends with Nikita for a very long time. And, we would do the same shows together where he would go and, it'd be essentially to where he's, you know, signing autographs and I'm pretty much working, you know, the show, but he always took a liking to me. He really did. And whether it be my work or just chatting in general, like he's helped me out with a lot of situations going on through my life and all positive. And, so he's been a very good friend, and I came to him with the idea of us, starting a team, going around the area, the Mid-Atlantic or even up north, you know, whenever we could, and just, you know, try and do something to where we could actually have something that's, beneficial to all parties. And he, you know, originally I came to him with the idea of it being a single, and then he came up with the idea of it being a tag. And that's when I said, well, if I'm going to team up with anybody, I wouldn't pick a better partner than Tyson. And Tyson and I have known each other for years, and always respected his work, loved his work, and just him being a well-rounded, professional wrestler and athlete, you know, at that, I just knew that, you know, our combination together could really, you know, dominate, you know, in tag team wrestling. and just wrestling in general. And so I reached out to Tyson and asked if he would be interested in doing something like that. And of course, Tyson jumped all over it.
Yeah, no. And then as soon as, like I said, it's, you have that, a lot of the times in other promotions now, you see a lot of tag teams that don't, you know, for the better use of terms, don't fit the bill.
Exactly. But
when I saw you two guys walk out, and I'm like, ooh, because I recognize Tyson right off the bat because I've seen a lot of your work down there in at PWX down in Carolinas. And I'm like, ooh, I'm like, this is going to be good. This is, you know, nobody's going to be somebody's going to be walking out with a limp. and then
Tyson's a shooter. I'm not gonna lie, Tyson's a shooter.
But it's just you don't see a lot of tag teams now that, you know, one, look similar as far as gear, as far as that look. But man, right. you boys certainly did that. And you know, is Thank that you. Kind of where, you know, before you got to the NWA at Circle Square, is that something that you guys spoke or, you know, discussed before you got there, that, hey, we want to look somewhat similar, you know, obviously bald, you know, I'm a fellow bald man. So bald is beautiful. and a cheap plug, you can get that at the Ringside Rant merch store right now. So head up that on Twitter, the link's right there.
Perfect.
Sorry, guys. I had to, but
quite all right.
Did you guys discuss that before you got to the NWA? You know, kind of looked the part?
We didn't. No, I mean, it's always been important for both of us to look the part. I mean, Jeff and I both train day in and day out to look the part and always be ready. But as far as our similar likeness, we did notice that right away. I think it was in our first match that, as soon as we got out of the ring and were back in the locker room, we discussed that our movements were similar, our builds are similar, and it's been something that's really benefited us as a team, how much we think alike and move alike and look alike.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So we never discussed that. We never discussed any of it, and it was just something that was just natural to the both of us.
Yeah, it's, you see, I've always been a huge, huge fan of tag team wrestling since I started watching back, you know, I'm going to probably date myself now to a lot of my listeners, but they know, you know, going back to the days of the Brain Busters and the Rockers and all those great tag teams. And you don't see, you know, a lot of actual tag teams now. Guys that have worked with each other or worked against each other for a number of years, like you guys have, you know, you get thrown together kind of thing.
Right.
Do you guys tend to, you know, agree with that aspect, or what is your thoughts on the current landscape of tag team wrestling in general?
You want to take that, Tyson?
Yeah, I think that there's a, like you said, I mean, you're spot on with it. There's a handful of really good tag teams that are true tag teams in the world right now. And that's, I mean, I think we're in a good place for where we are and where Coach K is leading us and to be such a tight unit as a team. Cause yeah, I mean, there's the Revival and Gallows and Anderson and, you know, a handful of other ones that off the top of my head that come straight away as that they're a true team. And then, yeah, everybody else kind of seems to be a hodgepodge of a situation that they get thrown together for a short amount of time and then they split once that's over with. But I think there, no pun intended, there is a revival of tag team wrestling that's going on right now. And I'm excited that we've got an opportunity to be in the mix with it.
Yeah, and to add to that, it's like, you know, just what Tyson said, there's you know, there's some tag teams that are out there, like real tag teams, you know, just like you said, the Revival, Gallows and Anderson, you know, and the thing is like, I'll go to what even Al Snow has said. It's like very, very few times will you see, it's almost like tag team wrestling has fallen by the wayside, but like it's making a comeback, more people are excited now to see tag team wrestling, because tag team wrestling is exciting. And the thing is like a lot of times, like what you would normally see is just, you know, like we mentioned earlier, is like teams just thrown together and they're having two singles matches as opposed to, you know, just two tag team matches. And where it makes sense for, you know, like myself and Tyson to work together as a team to beat that team. But it's like you'll see one guy having this, and then you'll see his partner coming in, and then he wants to do whatever he wants to do. So that's, you know, tag team wrestling's fallen by the wayside. But now when it's making a comeback, you start to see more teams, you know, come in, which is a huge advantage for Tyson and I.
Yeah, that was the cool thing about we each have individual attributes that we, you know, things that we do well as singles that we were right away able to blend together and make double team maneuvers that we have been really effective in what we do.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in the NWA, I mean, looking there, there's several teams there that are really good. You know, the Dawsons, and I'm hoping before this is over with that we get an opportunity to, like what Coach K did, you know, that we get an opportunity with the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is, yeah, it's
absolutely
the options are endless. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, for whatever reason, whether they, you know, they see this, they listen to the show, they see my stuff online with the indie promotion I work with up here. But they, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I said, dude, go watch the NWA, man, because that tag team division in the NWA is second to none. You guys included, you mentioned a lot of the other guys in there with the Rock and Roll Express, the Dawsons, you know, for
wild
better
cards.
Wild cards, exactly. And, you know, every once in a while you can see, you know, you get Eli and James Storm in there too. It's like, holy Christ, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, everybody thinks, oh, tag team wrestling, oh, you just stand on the apron. Yeah, not so much. Because you got to worry about, you know, yourself and three other guys, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, how, you know, was that a fairly easy transition for you guys individually to go from, you know, the single competitors to, you know, teaming together?
Yeah, it was really easy for us to really just, you know, kind of blend in. It was really easy for us to blend in and really just take the bull by the horns and go with it. Because when I first started, I started out as a tag team wrestler. And so it was natural for me. And then when Tyson and I both got in there for the first time with each other, It was almost like, yeah, this is magic right here. This is exactly, this gels well. This is, you know, exactly what we, you know, were brought together to do, which was to, you know, be tag team wrestlers. So it really was very easy for us to gel together with the product that we're putting out there.
Yeah, because like it's a lot of the times people think that, oh, it's the hardest thing is, you know, to be a single dresser. But I'm like, no, guys, you got to look at all these tag teams from the past and even the present. It's just like they can go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like the Rock and Roll Express. I mean, they're still going, and how many years later, you know? So, I mean, it's the love for the business that you have. And it's not exactly, you know, just about, you know, just going out there and just, you know, getting their stuff in, so to speak. I mean, we both, Tyson and I, are not selfish people at all when it comes to, okay, you know, working together, because we know that in order for us to get to that next level, we know we have to work together, and it's not going to come overnight, you know, for us. But I mean, we've done a hell of a job, you know, getting to that next level already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just between, like I said, just the research that I've done between the two of you guys got like over two decades of experience in this business. Mm-hmm. And, yep. You know, a lot of the young guys that I've talked to, whether on the show, in person, whatever, you know, they're always, you know, patience is very thin for these younger guys.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, guys, just take your time, pump the brakes a little bit, give it some time, because, you know, you get, there's so many options out there now that you have. Obviously, just me being an outsider is, you know, you got so many promotions, so much wrestling out there. What was your guys' mentality when, you know, earlier in your careers, you know, were you, did you have those support systems to say, hey, guys, let's come on, let's do this, let's do that kind of thing?
And it took me a little while longer to find my footing like that. Before you move away from the patience thing, one thing I would say as advice to anyone is, you know, you don't want to rush too much, because unless you're just one of the standout stud athletes of the world, one bad viewing can really hurt you for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes a long time to wash that stain off. But then going back to what you had said about this support group, I mean, that was, I always had good people around me, but then it wasn't until, I don't know, probably 7 years ago or so that it really got to where it was, you need to be doing this, you need to be getting out to these places. And it kind of changed the team that I had surrounded me, and people that pushed me and believed in me at times, you know, more than I believed in myself, to really take it up a gear. And that's when things started to click for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing with me was that, you know, I mean, I had it at first, but then once I came in, the support system that I had, they were about it. They were about you if you were there. And it's like they didn't want you out, because at that time it was when, you know, WCW was still, you know, around, WCW and ECW. And of course, everybody wants to compete. Everybody wants to say, well, if we're living in the same area, you know, then that guy over there is my competition. And it's like, hey, come on. You know, we're all trying to get to that next level. And, but I guess me personally, I was the only one around that saw that. And the others that were with me, they followed, because I wanted to make it to that next level. I didn't want to be stuck, you know, in Greenville, South Carolina, you know, wrestling. You know, I wanted to go to, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina, and I wanted to go to Rochester, New York, you know, Philadelphia. Yeah, I wanted to go to all these places to, you know, apply my trade. And so when it was there that the support system for me, when they knew that I wanted to go to other places, it was like that support system, when they supported me, was all of a sudden taken away. But then I needed to go ahead and go to these other places to learn, you know, the different styles, because not everybody's going to work the same style. And with that, like, I needed to go to places like NWA Wildside and NWA Charlotte, and, you know, when the territories were out for the NWA. So, and I got a very, very good education along the way. And so, it was one of those things where I kind of had to cut my teeth on my own, to really get to that next level. But now I've got a huge support system now. You know, I've got my partner Tyson, and we got Coach K. So, I mean, everything's all good, you know, now. So I'm very grateful and very thankful for that.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of the boys that I see with working for the promotion up here in Rochester, Upstate Pro, you see a lot of, it's a very young roster, and, you know, they always ask, hey, how, you know, as far as promos, because I do backstage interviews with them, hey, what do you want me to say? I said, okay, well, I'm trying to think. I'm like, I'll give them my opinion, but at the end of the day, I said, hey, guys, this is your character, this is your business, this is your livelihood, whatever the case may be, whether you're doing it, you know, full time, or whether you're doing it, you know, as a side gig or whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. You guys can take, you know, as much advice as you want, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's you going out into the ring, make the entrance, selling your merch, talking to the fans. And we've seen a lot of that, at least, you know, from just talking to a lot of the boys, a lot of the girls through the show, through that. is the wrestling business has become a lot more of a business now. Right. Have you guys seen that since you guys started to this point?
Yeah. I think as you move along, you grow into better promotions, better people. And that's the hard thing about wrestling is I came from like boxing whenever I was in my late teens, early 20s. And I thought there were some shady people in that. And I got into wrestling and was really shown what shady could be. But that, you learn pretty quick how to shake your way through that. And you got to have tough, thick skin. And if you want to be taken seriously and to move along, you've got to treat it like a business early on, or you're not going to be treated. You're not going to see the same return.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with me is I had to learn quickly, but I know that what I saw earlier in my career was a lot of politics instead of business. I saw a lot of politics going on, and there's politics everywhere you go, like within any field. You know, it's not just the same politics that you would get, at a construction site or working at McDonald's, places like that. But politics everywhere. But I just saw politics and not understanding as to why this is going on. But it's when I broke away and when I really started to see, going to WWE, for example, and seeing how business was ran there. And not only that, but working with people like Ricky Morton or like a Scott Steiner and seeing how they conducted business. And even one of my good friends, Shelton Benjamin, name dropping right now, I got to pick it up. But even seeing how he handled business. Because step by step, things are important as far as how they're worked and as far as how they're presented. And if it's not, then, it could really be a detriment to you. And just learning on the way, really gave me a good education. Especially overseas, with people like Shelton and even like Chavo Classic, rest in peace, Chavo. Learning from those guys and learning, how to really... okay, this is how this business is ran. It's not about I want the belt this week. Okay, well, do you deserve this belt on you? And can you carry this company to that next level? And that's just something that I learned along the way to where it's everybody wants a belt. Everybody wants a Goldberg push. But at the same time, are you willing to do... And I had to learn that really, really quickly within career too.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those things a lot you see wherever you go, you get a lot of politics and even more now. So in the wrestling business, but I talked to a guy that you guys may be familiar with. He's out of Georgia. He's up in out of Georgia. He's in Baltimore with the ROH dojo now. It was O'Shea Edwards.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I interviewed him last year. And one of the most, he may kill me for saying this if he hears this, but one of the nicest guys, but he has the business head on his shoulders because he explained to me one time, it's like, okay, you got your merch table, you got a guy next to you selling his shirts for $15, you're selling it for $25, you got to think of profit margin. I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, you normally don't talk to a lot of boys and say, you're thinking, okay, profit margin with your merch. But, nowadays it's end all be all kind of thing.
Right. I'll tell you what's funny is that, I want to say 2 years ago, I was at the South Carolina Comic Con here, and where they put me, they had a couple of wrestlers there, but they had Hacksaw Duggan. Mm-hmm. And he lives here in South Carolina now. Apparently, I didn't know that. And so he came in, and of course, I'm sitting there. I've got my pictures out. I've got my T-shirts out. And I'm just like, oh, this is gonna suck so bad. He's gonna take all the money. I'm not gonna make anything. So I'm just like, Thanks, Jim, you know, for all that. But in fact, it helped me because, in fact, like they had two wrestlers side by side. So if you had wrestling fans coming around, and I've known around this area, they would have Hacksaw. And then Hacksaw's like, hey, go see my friend Jeff right there. And people would know who I was, especially from around the area. So it helped me out. So in return, it's not necessarily a bad thing to be next to a Hall of Famer that's selling his 2x4s and pictures and whatnot, because you're gonna get the rub off of him. So it was really nice at that point, because I was like, this is gonna be just freaking stupid. I don't know why I'm here. I'm just angry at the world right now. But in fact, it ended up being one of the best selling days that I did there.
It all ends and it starts very well, but
exactly.
But he was one of those guys too, where, you know, previous, like I mentioned, with the Russians and the Rock and Roll Express, excuse me, that tag team, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You know, if you see pictures of me now, going back to my son's age, 7, 8 years old, I always, you know, with that old VHS, you know, recording yep. recorder, you know, and everybody, I never understood what it was. But I did it because that's what Hacksaw did, and, you know, he was my hero.
Bad thing is you had a bunch of females turning around like, excuse me?
Yeah, something like that. And I'm like, I didn't really understand it until, you know, until later in life. I'm like, oh, crap, that's...
I don't know where the hoe thing started from. The story I always heard, how he started off with the 2x4 was... a crowd, I guess he was a heel or something in Mid-South, and someone had tried to stab him or done something with him, and he started carrying a board to the ring. It started with breaking a pallet apart behind a building, so he would have something swing around so people wouldn't get near him.
Wow. Yeah, nice. That's wow. Breaking news right here.
Well, if I'm right, if not, well, it's fun.
Sounds about right. Sounds good to me. You know, we'll run with it, you know. But it's just, when he went to WCW with, you know, with the whole Canadian gimmick. Yeah, we're right here. But when he went with that gimmick with the Canadian, being a Canadian, mm-hmm. he's a Canadian sympathizer or something, whatever it was, I can't remember. But I'm like, now it's like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. It's like blasphemy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he was always
exactly
red, white, and blue as you could get.
But he's actually, they build him out mm-hmm. of, I think it was Elmira, New York? And which is probably another 2-3 hours for me or something like that. Or what is it? Glen Falls.
Oh, wow.
Glen Falls. And that's I'm like, oh man, he's close to me. And then I looked at it and I'm like, that's not close to me. But, you know, to get off of that, to go to another, it's, you see a lot of the whole, you know, this nostalgic wrestling nowadays, Hacksaw being right. one of them. Do you, you know, we see a lot of that of the bit with the bigger companies, with WWE or, you know, any of the other quote unquote bigger promotions, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you think, you know, a lot of that nostalgic is, you know, keeping fans coming into the building, or do you think it's something that kind of should be kind of weaned out?
Oh no. I don't think you should ever be weaned out. I mean, that was, as you were saying that, that's one of the things I think that's been such a draw to what the NWA is doing now, is they've looked back for their history and their legacy, but they're bringing the NWA today is very nostalgic. The studio wrestling and the way how they're building to their larger live shows and the people that they've involved. I mean, with having Coach K come out to do the drawing for the TV title, and to have Ricky and Robert out there. And I mean, it's amazing. And it's something that, so long as you're bringing up your newer crop of athletes, I think it's something that should always be honored and respected.
I agree. I 100% agree with that.
You know, but, you know, a lot of those, you know, quote-unquote smarter fans or whatever you want to call them out there, oh, so-and-so, they're part-timers, they do this, they do that. Like, well, yeah, but you're still – people are still going to the shows. They're still – you know, they're buying the merch, they're buying, you know, they're complaining about it on social media. So it's like, it's getting over either way.
You're still buying a ticket.
Yeah. One way or another.
As long as, you know, the Undertaker's entrance at WrestleMania still gets one of the biggest reactions, you're going to see that.
Yeah. Not this year, but.
Yeah, this year I'm it's going to be a little bit of a letdown. But.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing was is that Tyson and I were supposed to be at WrestleCon this year, which is it's disappointing, but at the same time it's like, hey, you know what, we're our health is greatly important to us, our family's health is greatly important to us, the promoter that was bringing us in, Bill Hazelwood, his health is important to us, so I mean, yeah, I mean there's always going to be next year for us, you know, hopefully a lot more will happen for us, so you know, knocking on wood on that, and so I mean, yeah, I mean we're not, you know, I mean, yeah, it's disappointing, but we're not you know, hanging our hats on that right now, you know, I mean we have to move forward, you know, with the whole with our careers just as everybody else does. So with that, I mean we're still looking forward to the next round that's coming our way. And the next bookings that are coming our way, because our goal is to be the best tag team in the world. Our goal is to be, you know, the number one tag team by far in the world, and to be the world tag team champions. That's our goal, and we know we're going to achieve that.
Yeah, that's definitely. You know, have you guys seen a lot of, you know, a lot of cancellations because of this whole the virus thing, or is it kind of just kind of come day to day basis kind of thing?
We're basically we picked up one in Alabama where it's going to be an empty studio TV taping for a promotion that we work for. We picked that up yesterday. But aside from that, everything through most of May, at least through the second week of May, has been canceled.
Jeez. Right. Yeah. Which we originally had all of March and all of April, you know, booked up. But hey, you know, I mean, a majority of these dates that we have haven't been canceled, with the exception of one. All of them have just been postponed. So it's not like these aren't going to still happen. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing that we're looking forward to, is still being able to perform for those people, for the fans in that town.
Yeah, because I've seen a lot, you know, just with the major promotions, and especially with the NWA, you know, you've seen a lot of these empty arena, you know, events and what have you. But I haven't seen anything like this probably in the wrestling business probably since 9/11, when everything just stopped.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And it's just I try to, you know, as a last, you know, few days that I've actually, you know, not been working, because they're like, oh, you want to work overtime? Sure, why not? And then they come to me on Friday, yeah, you can't work overtime anymore. Well, that was a good ride while it lasted. But, you know, just to promote, you know, a lot like guys like yourselves that are, you know, getting bookings canceled out for another month or two, or wherever the case may be, the guys that, you know, do this for a livelihood, they don't have anything to fall back on. Go out, go to these merch stores, go to these, you know, pro wrestling tees, or go to the websites that you guys have to get the merch or get this or get that, because, you know, it's going to be a crippling effect that it's going to take some time to really, I think, really recover from it.
Yeah,
I agree with too. That.
That's, you know, one good thing. I'm trying, you know, like you say, take the time to, you know, stay in shape, work hard and everything. But I'm also a big believer that, you know, got to put things in the right place at the right time. And I feel like, you know, maybe there's some opportunities for Jeff and I that it wasn't the right time for us, that maybe this downtime and doing things you know, like you're giving us the opportunity to do today, where people get to hear us speak and maybe want to look further into us, that it opens some doors when things get back rolling.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And make them want to go and check out the episode of the Circle Squared, you know, when we were on. Still voice your opinion, you know, even though voting is done. I mean, you can still voice your opinion to the NWA and to others.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been quite eye opening since the circle squared started, because you see a lot, you know, a lot of the guys that, okay, I'm like, I know I recognize this guy, I know, you know, with this girl or whatever, and then it's like, oh, that's where. But is that, you know, since you guys, you know, have, you know, debuted with the Circle Squared with the NWA, have you guys seen a lot of that uptick in, you know, booking? Well, now it's kind of wayside, but did you see a lot of the uptick in the bookings after that aired?
Yeah, we did. We saw a lot of people reaching out to us. You know, a lot of people reaching out to us in terms of bookings. A lot of people reaching out to us in terms of, hey, you know, I want to get you guys with Nikita, you know, coming in. And Nikita's been a huge help. He really has. I mean, we have weekly talks that we have that are very helpful, very informative that we do. And so, hey, buddy. You're hearing little Lucas James Neal, the real JLN.
Got to get the run in, right? You got to start him young,
yeah,
right?
He does the run in right there. And that's the reason as to why, you know, I want to make it to that next level, is to be able to show my son that, you know, you can do it. You can. Dreams can come true if you're willing to put the work in. And but, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, we have seen a good bit of people reaching out to us, and a lot of promoters like really congratulating us and actually asking if they can have that in their promotion.
Mm-hmm. With, you know, with the NWA, is it more, like I said, if you guys can, you know, talk about it, I don't know, but is it something that you guys are kind of like on a show to show, taping to taping kind of basis, or are you guys officially part of the NWA?
Well, can't comment about it now.
Okay.
But
yeah,
the one thing I will say is never say never.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those things, especially in the business.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you know, while you were in there with the NWA, have you guys really seen a lot of that type of atmosphere with any other promotion? You know, that close-knit fan base that will basically will get ruckus no matter what.
No, it was the most fun crowd and atmosphere that I've been around in, as far as I can remember, in wrestling. I mean, and it made me proud to hear that. Even it was cool, because even before we were on Circle Square, people would come up to us and go, man, you guys have got to get into the NWA. You're tailor-made for the NWA. And then once we did Circle Squared, and that was the reaction, and people, you know, looked back and they talked about how much we reminded them of what they grew up on with the NWA and how we were what the NWA needed. I mean, it really built a sense of pride and hope in us that we'll be there and be on that roster. And it was, I mean, it was an easy group of people to get along with, very professional. Everything was very well ran. You didn't have to wonder on, you know, what you were doing or where you were supposed to be. I mean, it was, they've made a hell of an atmosphere and a really good place to be.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. The crew was extremely, humbled and just all around great people to be around, and just it was a very professional and just an honor to be a part of it.
Now, did you guys have an opportunity to sit down and chat with anybody like Mr. Corrigan or Mr. Lagana, or was it kind of just you got in, did your stuff, and you kind of just did your own thing?
Chatted with both for a little bit, and both loved what we did, And just, you know, like I said, you never know what the future will hold. But I know that the conversations that we had with them after the Circle Squared were both positive.
Mm-hmm. With, you know, being involved, you know, having Coach K with you, you know, seeing that, you know, his old, you know, the character that he played in his career, is that, you know, are you guys basically be your own characters? Are you looking to kind of adapt or kind of not copy, but, you know, take a little bit from his, you know, repertoire, so to speak, as a tag team?
Well, you got to think. I mean, he's coaching us too, so he's giving us all the knowledge that that he knows, and so you've got a little bit of himself in there, and you got a little bit of Ivan in there as well, and so I mean, yeah, we're learning from one of the best, you know, one of the biggest legends in the industry. So naturally, we're gonna pick up, you know, whatever he's laying down for us, and which is always a positive.
To in short answer your question, though, stay tuned and all will be revealed in due time.
Very true.
Well, there you go. And it's only one way you can watch it. It's at 6:05 on Tuesdays on YouTube with the NWA Power.
There you go. That is true.
You gotta get that plug in there for you too. That was been one of those shows that, you know, I started watching the NWA when they started the whole 10 pounds of gold, 10 pounds of gold series. And
very good series.
Absolutely phenomenal. I talked to Mr. Storm probably about a month ago too. And it was one of those things I told him, it was one of those things where you just kind of sit back and you get, you know, the wheels start turning in your head. It's like, you remember all the old school wrestling kind of thing. And when they brought NWA Power back, or debuted NWA Power, I should say, right, I never miss a show. I never do. And if I do, if I don't watch it live, I'm watching it after the fact in case I'm having dinner with the family or whatever. Sure. And it's just never miss. And that fan base is just rabid, whether it be online or whether it be in person or wherever the case may be. You know, with the act as active as social media is now, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. I'm sure there'll be another one coming out tomorrow that we don't know about. You know, being, you know, you've been, you know, like I said before, 2 decades between the 2 years of experience. How have you guys, you know, really adapted that social media aspect of it to promote yourself? You know, obviously with myself, you know, I've been following you guys, you know, for a while, but, you know, how have you guys really adapted to that avenue as far as promoting a lot of your stuff?
You want to take this, Tyson?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the things that, you know, we've had to, Jeff and I being a little bit older than some of the guys, you know, we didn't grow up in the era of social media, but it was quickly a part of the game that we recognized that it's a whole new platform, that it's not just getting someone to come out to a show that you're on. I mean, I've got people that message me regularly from the UK and the Middle East that watch my matches and are always entertained by them and everything. And it's, it quickly shows you that the world's a much smaller place than it used to be. And you've got to stay on top of that if you really want to get your name out there and be recognized and go to our next level.
Right. I agree. And it's just, you know, letting the fans know where we're going to be, when we're going to be there. And, just keeping in touch with them, keeping in touch with them in every cost, where they can know, hey, they're going to be, you know, in my area. You know, I want to go see them. I want to go support them. So, yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Now, are you guys, obviously, with you guys based out of Georgia and out of South Carolina, are you guys pretty much looking to go wherever to where you guys can get bookings, or are you just kind of looking to stay in certain areas?
No, we want to get out there. We want to go everywhere. We want to go everywhere. That's our primary goal, is to go everywhere, work everywhere, and we're in the top promotions, working with the top athletes and wrestlers in the world, because we feel that we are one of the best tag teams in the world, and we know that we can go out there with some of the best tag teams in the world and show them why we are the best tag team in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one in the world right now that I feel like if you put us in the ring with, that we're not going to meet and beat the expectations of the promoter and the people that come to watch us.
Agreed.
Now, you mentioned the Rock and Roll Express being one of those teams you really want to work with within the NWA. What, whether it be in the NWA or whether it be outside in another promotion, wherever the case may be, what tag team is on your radar for you guys right now that you want to have a program with, whether it be a one off or whether you want extended programs with?
There's a lot of tag teams out there that we have our eyes on that we would love to have programs with. But obviously the one that comes to mind with us, a lot of people have been sending us messages that are saying that like this would be an amazing match to watch is us against the Dawsons. Something that we're looking at. The Heat Seekers, in my opinion, one of the best tag teams in the world. Love both those guys to death, but that's a match that I know will, do very good business. Even us versus Eli Drake and James Storm, the current NWA World Tag Team Champions. That's what we have our sights set on as well. So, I mean, there's not just one particular team that we're looking at, but I know that we're looking at a lot of teams and that we want to, basically show that we're the best tag team in the world.
Oh yeah. Well, definitely on that avenue. That's for sure. At least in my eyes anyways, especially in the right promotion too with the NWA, because like I said, there's anybody and any given day, any given night, can become the tag team champions. And that's definitely, that case. Now, to kind of turn it to a little bit more of a fun aspect, I like to ask a couple fun questions once we get to the end of the show.
All right.
Seeing that you, like I said, not to, keep on harping on that you guys have that experience, but you guys been on the road a long time.
Sure.
What are those aspects, restaurants, quickie marts, whatever you want to call them. What are your go-tos when you're on the road?
Oh, boy. I have so many stories.
What? I don't know if you guys have them. I know in Texas there's what is it called, a Buc-ee's?
Yeah, there's the Buc-ee's. There's a Whataburger.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And the thing is like around here, for some reason, They closed it, but even on the road, it's still great. Is Crystal's?
It's White Castle's up north and Crystal's in the south.
Oh yeah, boy. That's lethal.
Yeah, gotta have the Crystal Burgers. Man, I tell you, it's a different variety. It's a different variety. So. Of course, I've got a couple of stories, about a Crystal Burger. I mean, that's a topic for another day.
sounds like a part two for the show.
This is before Tyson and I met. So it was, interesting time in Columbus, Georgia, I must say.
Oh boy, yeah, that's a place that
there's nothing there. Okay, short story. Did you remember Murphy from TNA?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was when it was Gunner and Murphy. Murphy and I used to travel together, and we had a guy that traveled with us named Brandon Phoenix, who used to work for NWA Wildside and NWA Anarchy. When in Columbus, especially on that one main road that we were wrestling off of, was a Crystal Burger. And we decided to go to the Crystal Burger, and we walk in, and there's, you have the two people at the cash register, and then you have the cook that's in the back. And apparently the three of them are not getting along at all. And we walk in and we place our order. And as we're waiting, next thing you know, here comes the cook. He's looking at the two females that are at the front register, and they just look at each other and say, "I don't know why this. I don't know what the." It's loud for not just us to hear, but the other customers to hear. And then this big shouting custom match is going. And so myself and Murphy, like, we're just sitting there kind of laughing at it because we're like, we can't believe this is actually going on. And then Brandon Phoenix is thinking we're just going to get shot in there. So we're just, you know, just sitting there like, just relax. Our burgers are going to be made in just a minute. Don't worry. Let them get past this and we'll get our burgers. So as they're continuing to go on, on his midsection. And then the one girl says, "I know you're not asking me to do that, is you? They get your mama to do that for you." And when that happened, me and Murphy fell on the floor, just dying. And then the manager, finally, after 5 minutes of this going on, the manager finally comes out and is like, "What?" You see, we're all going to get shot and killed in Columbus, Georgia. Then we finally end up getting our burgers and getting our meals. Then we finally just head on out. And it was just one topic going down the road that we just continued to talk about.
Sounds like a shirt. One night in Columbus, Georgia. Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah. Oh,
man, you talk about the Whataburger. Going back to that, you can for real start a fight in Texas with getting a conversation started over what your preference is between Whataburger and In-N-Out. Like, I've seen huge arguments over that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous. It's like that, and you get arguments in the Carolinas as far as what chicken's better, whether you get Popeyes or Bojangles or KFC. It's like you're gonna start another war or something.
Don't forget about churches now.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
Are you guys don't have churches chicken up there?
No, we don't have churches. We don't have Bojangles either. All we have is Popeyes and Popeyes
don't have
KFC.
Bojangles up there?
No,
oh, wow.
We have everything but Bojangles. I've been trying to get my buddy, the one JG Flair, who's the Bojangles champion, self-proclaimed, to get his word in with the company down there to get it up here, because I've had it in Virginia once and I was hooked. I'm like, I can't go to Popeyes or KFC ever again.
you got to have the dirty rice whenever you go to the Bojangles.
Oh, yeah, it is good.
My son loves it. He'll eat the hell out of it.
But yeah, it's just like, it's the same thing. You know, you get to that talks with burgers and chicken down south. It's just opposite. You get the pizza up here, you know, on every corner. There's every 2 square miles up here in the Northeast. There's a pizza place. It's like, and everybody's different. That's the thing. It's like, holy crap. I'm like, I'm going to walk out of here. Yeah. I'm going to be like 600 pounds or something with eating all this grease and whatnot, but
now I'll tell you here in Greenville, the best burger joint, there's two places. Yeah, I'm gonna give them a plug right here. One is the Clock, which is literally called the Clock Drive-In, and from back in the 50s, but still some of the best burgers that you'll ever have. It's so greasy, but and then there's my fiance Autumn. She got me hooked on this, which was Carolina Fine Foods, which is in Simpsonville. So about 10 minutes down the road, right there on the same level, probably better than the Clock. And it's some of the best chili cheeseburgers and double cheeseburgers. Home cooked food, and like you go in there, there's just like this massive buffet, and we're just there to get a burger. And I'm like, holy crap, they got like home cooked meals in here? Like, that's crazy. So,
yeah. Well, see, now I know where to go.
Yeah. It's good whenever my son, like, and we try and give our son, you know, like some vegetables and some rice, you know, stuff like that he'll eat. But it's also good whenever you can, like, cut a slice the burger off for him, and he devours it in a second. And he's only 15 months old. Imagine what he's going to do when he. Oh.
I don't want to see that grocery bill.
Oh, you don't want to see it now.
Oh man. But yeah, it's one of those things. I'm like, oh man, it's a question I always like to ask, because different parts of the country is all different things, because, you know, Carolinas to Georgia to Florida, you get all that, you know, the home cooked meals, chicken, you know, beef, all that good stuff. But
right.
It's so, cause you get off on all these, like we do, you get off all on these tangents, and it's like, oh man, mm-hmm. It's always great to hear the story. And it always goes off from a story from the road, you know?
Oh yeah.
You know, one night. That's merch money right there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That's what. Yeah. I think my favorite place in the country for food is pretty much the whole state of Louisiana.
Oh that's my where God! Yes.
I've got family from there, and I mean, every time I go back there and get to work there, I mean that's the thing. You know, a promoter would be like, well, "Where do you want to go?" And I'm like, "Man, I want the most dive Cajun place around here that." You say it has the best food. I mean, it's yet to disappoint ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That, yeah. Cajun food from there is amazing.
No, and it's one of the things you go back to, and it also goes back to remind you of that the home-cooked meals, like you said, it goes back and reminds you of, you know, your grandmother, your grandfather, or parents, or whatever, what they cook. Anytime, you know, I smell that vinegar, my grandmother... Yeah, God rest her soul, used to make German potato salad from scratch.
Oh, wow. That's delicious.
Oh, my God. She'd make it warm. She'd make it cold. And, you know, before she passed, I think it was like 2009. It was right before my wife and I got married. And I'm like, oh, grandma. I always called her Oma because it was a German for grandmother.
Yeah, it's German for grandma. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. And I'm like, Oma, we saw her in the hospital. And I'm like, hey, do you know... Can you give me the recipe for the potato salad? My DJ wants to make it. She's like, there is no recipe. I'm like, what do you mean there's no recipe? She's like, there is no recipe. she's like, long story short, she just throws everything into a pot, puts it on the stove and cooks it. I'm like, oh man, it's like, I can never, you know, my mouth's watering now just thinking about the bacon and the vinegar and the potatoes.
Oh yeah.
Like, holy Christ. It's that type of food that kind of sticks to your ribs.
Oh yeah, exactly. It never leaves.
No, it definitely doesn't. But yeah, guys, I to wind down here, just kind of promote what you guys, a couple of shows that you guys got coming up, like you said, ways people can get a hold of you, social media, if they want to book you or whatnot.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/JeffLewisNeil. That's NEAL. And on Twitter at Jeff Lewis Neil. Also on Instagram at Jeff Lewis Neil as well. I'm in the process of creating a fan page for myself and Tyson and Nikita, to where if you wanted to all three of us, then you can reach out to us on the fan page.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm on Facebook at Tyson Alexander Dean. Instagram at The Tyson Dean and Twitter at The Tyson Dean. And like we said, I mean, in the immediate future, we don't have anything where you can come see us, but, you know, please hit us up and for anything down the road once all the madness settles down and get some bookings and everything out there. And, you know, like Jeff said earlier, if you haven't seen it, go check out our episode of The Circled Square. And I know through Continental Championship Wrestling, there's been matches that we've got up there together. And take a look at us, and, you know, the promoters give us an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully this madness will end soon. Hopefully as quick as, you know, you never know. It could be like next week we could actually have some sort of answers. But, you know, definitely after this is all taken care of and it's over with, guys, whoever's listening to this, you know, keep these guys on the radar. Keep the best kept secret on the radar, because this team's going to be going to the moon very, very quickly in my eyes. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for being on. Do you like coffee grounds like I do? Well, go over and check out my guys at Reaper's Brew. check them out on their website at reapersbrew.com or on Twitter at reapersbrew. Also, are you a fan of independent wrestling or wrestling in general? If you weren't, you wouldn't be listening to this show. Check out my guys at fight.tv for a wide variety of great professional wrestling action. That is fight.tv. Get your subscription now and get the likes of the NWA, New Japan, and Synergy Pro Wrestling. Check them out at fight.tv.
This is the Ringside Rant with RJ, and I'm Colin West from Synergy Wrestling. Yeah. All right, RJ, I got you that musical bumper that you... What do you mean you were kidding about the musical? Well, I'm going to sound like an... Son of a bitch!
This is Joe Galley for the National Wrestling Alliance and NWA Power. You can watch every Tuesday at 6:05 on YouTube. You're listening to the Ringside Rant with RJ.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
After you go over and follow all my great sponsors, go over and follow me on Twitter at ringsiderant_RJ as well as ringside_rant right there on the Twitter machine. Head over and check out the great apparel store that we have for my buddies over at What For Apparel by going to ringsiderant.deco, that's deco-apparel.com/shop. You can get hoodies, you can get t-shirts, you can get coffee mugs. You can get a shirt that says Bald is Beautiful because after listening to this week's episode, Bald is Beautiful. So go over to ringsiderant.deco-apparel.com/shop to get your great Ringside Rant apparel. Also, check out my guys over at Full Press Coverage Radio Network. It's a fantastic network that I am pleased to be a part of. Head over and download their app, whether you're on iOS or Android, and make sure you listen to the Ringside Rant every week right there. But if you're on the go and you don't have access to your phone, you can go right on their website at fullpresscoverage.com/radio to listen to the Ringside Rant. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 50th episode of the Ringside Rant. I have to thank each and every one of you. You know who you are. I am thrilled that I've made it to the 50th episode of the Ringside Rant. This is only the limit. The sky is the limit, I should say. Here's to another 50 episodes of the Ringside Rant. And thank you very, very much for tuning in this week. And welcome to Ranters Nation.